Welcome to the Eurovision Travel Guide. In this monthly series, we'll be exploring a country in the Eurovision Song Contest, learning about some of their entries, their national selection methods, and some other noteworthy points. This month, we are going to be taking a look at Lithuania. This is ESC 101. Labas rytas, laba diena, labas vakaras, sveiki avieki ESC 101. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. Welcome to episode 8. My name is Alexander, and let's jump into Lithuania's history at the Eurovision Song Contest. The Republic of Lithuania is a country in the Baltic region of Europe, one of the Baltic sisters, usually grouped together with Estonia and Latvia. Its capital is Vilnius, and has a population of just under 3 million people, with a land area of around 65,500 square kilometers, or about 25,200 square miles. Lithuania is a member of a number of international groups. They joined the European Union in 2004, becoming a part of the Schengen Zone in 2007, which allows passportless travel between Schengen Zone members, and they joined the Eurozone in 2015, meaning they replaced their former currency, the Lithuanian litas, with the euro. They also joined NATO in 2004 and are a member of the Council of Europe. Lithuania has a very rich culture, which I admit I know basically next to nothing about. I do know that Lithuania has a large Christian population and they use the Lithuanian language, but I could not even begin to describe the Lithuanian culture to do it justice. If you are curious to learn more about Lithuania as a country, I encourage you to check out the Geography Now channel on YouTube. I'm not sponsored to mention them, I just enjoy their videos, and I find them quite insightful. I'll leave a link to the Lithuanian episode of Geography Now in the show notes on the ESC website, esc101podcast.wordpress.com. Lithuania's political history is also vast, and I'm not going to go into a full history lesson on Lithuania's borders in Europe, but some highlights do include the Kingdom and Grand Duchy of Lithuania, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, the Russian Empire, the Republic of Lithuania, the Lithuanian Soviet Socialist Republic, and the current Republic of Lithuania, which had its sovereignty restored after the fall of the Soviet Union. Lithuania's broadcaster in the Eurovision Song Contest is Lithuanian National Radio and Television, or LRT for short. Its radio division was founded in 1926, and its television division was founded in 1957, with LRT joining the European Broadcasting Union in 1993. Lithuania has participated 23 times in the Eurovision Song Contest. They missed out on 6 contests since their debut. They withdrew from 1995 to 1998 due to getting nul points at their debut in 1994. They were relegated in 2000 and 2003 due to poor results. But in the grand final, Lithuania did place in the top 10 on 3 occasions: 2006, 2016, and 2021. Their highest placement in the grand final was 6th place in 2006, but they did earn a bronze podium spot in their semi-final in 2012. As mentioned earlier, they did finish last on debut in 1994 with nul points, and they ended up getting last in the semi-final in 2005 with 17 points. They are also the only Baltic country not to have won the Eurovision Song Contest. Lithuania has sent 4 entries in the Lithuanian language, either in whole or in part: 1994, 1999, 2001, and 2022, with the rest of their entries in English. Their 1999 entry featured Samogitian, a dialect of Lithuanian spoken in Samogitia, and some songs have featured small portions in French. I won't offer commentary on every single entry Lithuania has sent, otherwise this episode would be several hours long. But if you are interested in hearing some opinions about the performances, I encourage you to check out the Douze Points podcast and their Eurovision Forever project. Jack Eaton, the former co-host, and Elizabeth Allen, the current host of the podcast, did a series covering every single entry in the Eurovision Song Contest from 1956 to 2022. They covered Lithuania in episodes 89 and 90, so I encourage you to check out those episodes and see what they thought of Lithuania in the Eurovision Song Contest. Links to those episodes will also be put on the ESC website. Lithuania also features a few returning artists. Victor Diawara, a member of 2001's Scamp, returned as a member of LT United in 2006. Donny Montell, who represented Lithuania in 2012, returned in 2016. Jurij Venklenko, who was a backing vocalist for Lithuania in 2013 and 2015, returned in 2019 as a solo artist, and Monika Linkit, who represented Lithuania in 2015 alongside Vaidas Balmila, returned in 2023 as a solo artist. Lithuania's origins in the Eurovision Song Contest was a bit chaotic, to say the least. Lithuania was the first to gain independence from the Soviet Union in 1990, and its counterparts Latvia and Estonia also gained its independence around the similar time. Lithuania is dealing with post-Soviet transformation, European integration, and an overall sense of globalization. With a country as small as Lithuania, there is a lot of work to be done both internally and internationally to shape the framework of what Lithuanian culture looks like outside a post-Soviet circle. In the book A Song for Europe, Popular Music and Politics in the Eurovision Song Contest, Bjorn Ingvoldstad recalls his time in Lithuania in the 1990s, and he notes that the music scene in Lithuania was opening up to Western music, despite his personal desire for Lithuania to be different. Over his time there, he came to discover small pockets of Lithuanian bands and music, but he found that there was both a global pop presence and a strong locally national music scene in Lithuania simultaneously. This presented Lithuanian music acts with a bit of a challenge. While there was a market for homegrown talent within Lithuania, it was another challenge altogether to break out into the global markets for Lithuania, and the dream of having a Lithuanian band appearing on European charts was a pipe dream. With independence being granted to Lithuania and the Eurovision Song Contest accepting a large number of Eastern European countries, the timing seemed right for Lithuania to put themselves onto the Eurovision stage, for even a slim chance of growing an international audience for their music. In 1993, because of the number of Eastern European countries wanting to join Eurovision, the EBU had to host a pre-qualification round, Kvalifikacija za Mill Street. Qualification for Mill Street. And a number of countries were interested in joining this pre-selection program in order to get onto the Eurovision stage. But I haven't been able to find any reason why Lithuania didn't enter Kvalifikacija za Mill Street. There was an article written on February 22nd, 1993, in the Estonian newspaper Palvit, mentioning the following, which I translated from Estonian into English. Juri Pihel announced the exclusion of two important competitors, Russia and Lithuania. This quote suggests that Lithuania did intend at one point to enter the pre-qualification event in Ljubljana, but it seems as if Lithuania didn't feel like they were ready and decided to wait another year. Estonia did end up going to Kvalifikacija za Mill Street, but they didn't end up going, so no Baltic states actually entered the Eurovision Song Contest in 1993. As mentioned earlier, Lithuania entered the Eurovision Song Contest a year later in 1994. They internally selected the song Lopšine Miljamai by Ovidijus Vyšniauskas. Looking at this entry, I don't know why it got a null point. It certainly isn't a bad song, but perhaps being an ex-Soviet state placed them in a less prominent position in popularity. But in any case, their result relegated them in 1995, but the broadcaster decided to take a few years off and regroup. They returned in 1999, and they used a national selection process to choose their entry, but not exactly in the way you might be thinking. Lithuania ended up using a national final entitled, and please bear with me for my Lithuanian pronunciation of this, Eurovizijos Dainų Konkurso Nacionale Atranka 1999, which translates to National Selection of the Eurovision Song Contest 1999. Not exactly inventive naming, but it works. 12 songs competed in the national final held on the last week of December in 1998. It was hosted by Vilija Grignoti and Vytautas Kernagis, being recorded and aired a few days later. Apparently, the show had both a televote and a jury vote, but the Wikipedia article claims that only the votes of the jury decided the winner. There's also an article written on a Lithuanian Eurovision news site that mentions a televote being involved, but without me knowing Lithuanian and Google Translate only being able to do so much, I can't confirm exactly what it says. Both sources do say that the televote chose Rebel Heart's entry Kelias Pastav with 40% of the vote, and the entry that ended up going to Eurovision entitled Strazdas by Este Smilgevi Ciute with 33%. The points for the top four entries in the selection were revealed, with Este's song getting 57 points and Rebel Heart getting 27. It seems like there was a wide margin points-wise, but it's still somewhat confusing. It feels like an internal selection with an opinion poll attached, but for statistical purposes, it was a national final. Aiste's song performed poorly in Jerusalem, and Lithuania was relegated once again, returning in 2001. They used a national final again, dropping the 1999 from the title and sticking with the same title as before, which I will not attempt to pronounce again. This time, the voting structure definitely involved a public vote, with 50% of the vote coming from a jury of 10 people from a variety of professional positions like composers, directors, singers, fashion designers, etc. 25% of the vote would come from an audience at the venue itself, and the other 25% would come from a public televote. 15 entries competed this time from a selection of 36 submissions. The scores of the top three entries are revealed, with the winner getting 61.5% of the vote, second place getting just 15%, 15%, and third place getting 6% of the vote. That is a huge drop in the podium and is a clear indicator of the best song out of that 15. Of course, Lithuania chose the song You Got Style by Skamp, which was the song of the week featured in episode 5. Lithuania continued to use the same national final format until 2009, when it switched to using Lietuvos Dainų Daina, and the following year in 2010 they switched again, this time just using Eurovizija, which was used until 2013. Then they switched back to their 2001 national selection format, which continued until 2019. In 2020, they made a new national final selection program called Pandabom Ish Naujau 2020, translated as Let's Try Again 2020. Very interesting naming scheme this time around. I don't know exactly why they call it Let's Try Again 2020. Perhaps the entry from 2019 was so poor that Lithuania wanted to try and do something entirely new, so they tried to do something that was a bit interesting, but in any case, this is the program that brought us The Roop and their entry On Fire. Of course, the contest in 2020 was cancelled, but in a controversial move, and in my opinion, incorrect, they decided not to internally select The Roop to represent Lithuania in 2021, instead opting to use the same national final, just changing the 2020 to 2021. Thankfully, The Roop decided to enter, and they ended up winning again. It was a 50-50 voting system, with the jury placing it first place with 84 points, which translated into a 12 from the jury, and overwhelmingly winning the televote, getting 74,512 points from the public, while second place entrant only got 6,413 votes. That's a difference of 68,099 votes. Despite being one of the favorites to win in 2020 and gaining huge popularity in 2021, they were unable to top Lithuania's best result in 2006, and they ended up placing 8th in 2021. In 2022 and 2023, Lithuania continued to use the same national final as 2020 and 2021. Lithuania is confirmed to compete in the 2024 Eurovision Song Contest in Sweden, and there is breaking news regarding their national selection format. Lithuania's broadcaster LRT has reported that it will use a new national final called Eurovizia.lt. Submissions are being accepted, with 20 artists being ultimately chosen to compete in the program. There will be 4 to 5 semifinals, along with a grand final. Artists must be from Lithuania, however, international writers may submit songs for the competition as well. Each artist will receive a budget of up to 1,500 euros for their performance. The national final will use the current 50-50 voting model used in the Eurovision Song Contest, where viewers can vote for their favorite song. This was reported by James Stevenson of Eurovoix.com. This concludes the special news bulletin. Looking at the scoring system used from 1975 to 2015, which uses the singular 12-point system, when Lithuania was in the grand final, Lithuania's top point givers include Ireland, giving 57 points to Lithuania over time, Latvia, giving 56 points, and the United Kingdom, giving 38 points. Overall, they participated in the grand final 11 times, and in those 11 times, Lithuania received 453 points from various countries. During their participation from 1994 to 2015 in the grand final, a lot of their points came around 2006 and afterwards, with 2006 being the clear indicator of getting a large number of countries giving some amount of points to Lithuania. In that same period, Lithuania failed to get points from 13 countries. Now, these statistics that I'm looking at include countries that participated outside of Lithuania's involvement in Eurovision, like Morocco, Luxembourg, and Yugoslavia, or the countries were not in the grand final when countries are voting, like Australia. From 1994 to 2015 in the grand final, Lithuania gave the most points to Russia with 104, Latvia with 72, and Ukraine with 60. Not fully surprising, given the ties with the former USSR, but I am a little surprised that Estonia isn't in the top three. Estonia is 5th on the list, being beaten by Sweden. Georgia and Azerbaijan are 6th and 7th on this list, so there is definitely a lot of love for the Soviet bloc in Lithuania. And over its participation from 1994 to 2015, Lithuania gave 928 points, and it also gave an average of 8.38 points to the winning song in contests that they voted in, just 0.01 points below last month's Eurovision travel guide country Israel, so on par so far with winner selections. Lithuania's liberation from the Soviet Union has been challenging, especially with its attempt to break out of its communist shadow into the wider world of Europe. Their participation in Eurovision, alongside the European Union and its integral programs, highlights the willingness that Lithuania has to commit to promoting its image on the world stage. And the 2020s have been good for Lithuania so far. Let's hope that that luck continues. Speaking of wishing good luck, let's see how other countries are doing in the lead up to Eurovision 2024. It's time for the Eurovision Report. Iceland's national broadcaster RUV confirmed dates for its national selection for Eurovision 2024, taking place on February 17th, 24th, and March 2nd. There were 118 songs submitted for the competition, with a total of 10 acts that will be competing in the final shows. Two acts from the two semifinals will go to a grand final event, with a fifth song being selected by a wild card, totaling 5 entrants for the grand final show. And one of those acts will win the chance to represent Iceland at Eurovision. This is reported by Sanjay Jandani of ESC Today. Spain's national broadcaster RTVE reported receiving 825 song submissions for its Benidorm Fest 2024. This is nearly double the number of submissions from last year, which was 455. Nearly 200 of the 825 songs were submitted in the last 24 hours before the deadline. The broadcaster noted that unlike last year, where more than 300 of the submissions had no performer attached, all 825 submissions for this year's competition has a singer attached to the song, relieving some of the stress and pressure on the broadcaster. 16 entries will ultimately advance to the final show, with the winner being selected to represent Spain in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2024. This was reported by William Lee Adams of WeWe Blogs. This has been the Eurovision Report. And now it's time for Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I share a Eurovision entry that I find fun to listen to. Maybe it's terrible or cringy or simply noteworthy. Since we are looking at Lithuania, I have decided to choose a Lithuanian entry. Let's find out who the winner is of this week's Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the entry for Lithuania in 2006, We Are the Winners, sung by LT United. Composers Andrius Mamontovas and Saulnius Samas Urbonavičius, lyricist Viktorijas Diawara and Andrius Mamontovas, and ended up placing 6th, getting 162 points. 12 points from Ireland, 10 points from Latvia, the UK, and Iceland, 8 points from Finland, Estonia, and Poland, and points from 23 other countries. They are, in fact, the winners of the title of Lithuania's most successful entry to date, as no entry since then has gotten better than 6th place in the grand final. LT United stands in a row on the stage all dressed in suits, singing the lyrics, "We are the winners of Eurovision, and you gotta vote, vote, vote for the winners," over and over and over again. The song is reminiscent of a football chant, very repeatable and very memorable. One of the members of the band even speaks into a megaphone and points a microphone into the megaphone as if leading some kind of protest chant. The most stationary member on the left goes to the center of the stage, meeting the member that was on the most right, who is simultaneously walking with an electrified violin. The left member is walking up like he's security about to drag off the violin player, but instead breaks into a weird dance that I can't even begin to describe. Despite the egotistical nature of the lyrics, this song is iconic for its campness and its ultimate silliness in its entry. The audience audibly boos the entry, but they take it in stride, and they do end up getting Lithuania's best result. Imagine if they had actually won the contest with that song. It would be quite the wild ride for LT United. But while they may not have won Eurovision, they did win Song of the Week. While Lithuania is not the most well-known country in Eurovision, it has given an honest attempt at participating in the contest. In its early years, I imagine they tried not to send anything too popular out of a fear of having to host the contest and the newly emerged former Soviet state becoming bankrupt from having to host the competition. But in the 2020s, I think it's time for Lithuania to gain their first win, so I hope they continue to work towards victory, and hopefully Eurovision will be hosted in Vilnius soon. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us your comments, your thoughts, and your ideas to our Instagram account at ESC101podcast. You can also send us an email, ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Check out the show notes on our website, www.esc101podcast.wordpress.com, and be sure to leave us a review on whatever platform you are currently listening on. Subscribe to the podcast and check out our previous episodes where we talk about a variety of topics covering Eurovision history, from hosts to interval acts, artists to origin stories. Next week, we are going to be reacting to one of the postcard segments of the Eurovision Song Contest, the little portion of the program in between entries. So stay tuned to find out which contest we'll be exploring. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.